Welcome to Defined by Moments. As today's beliefs and behaviors determine who we become tomorrow, this moment, right now, is how we learn to live better so that we can lead better. Now, let's turn it over to Dr. Joel Medley for today's lesson from God's Word.
Thank you so much for coming back to join us here on Defined by Moments. You know, sometimes we shift away from a series that we may be working our way through, and that's exactly what I'm going to do for this episode. This is something that I needed. God knew that I was going to be going through some things and having some conversations with myself that needed to be righted and pointed in the direction of Him. And it's amazing to me that, you know, when you study Scripture, when you read His Word, you'll go through passages that are familiar, that you have read many different times, but with the context that He has in your life, how He can open up a passage that really becomes personal and quite frankly, for me, special. So take those Bibles and turn to Psalm 131. If you know anything about the book of Psalms, you know that it is written by David. David is considered a man after God's own heart. And that is an important backdrop, and we're really going to dig into that in just a minute. But Psalm 131, one of the shorter Psalms, three verses. Let's read them, and we'll work our way back through. It says, O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord, from this time forth and forevermore. Three verses, three simple points, but I want to start with how he opens this psalm. O Lord. Now, anytime that you read in Scripture and you see the all caps Lord, L-O-R-D, that references back to the Hebrew term Yahweh, which in our English translations, we would consider that Jehovah. But the important part is to understand the significance of that term, Yahweh. You know, it references that He, this God, the one named Yahweh, brings into existence whatever exists. And by phrasing it that way, that means that God is outside the bounds of time. He is the self-existing one. He existed before time exists, and in human time, when that time ends, God will continue to exist. He has always been. Within the Hebrew culture, this was the name that was too sacred to ever be spoken. You know, if you were translating a scripture or copying it over as a scribe board, and you would, you know, as a scribe would, and you write that term, you would then immediately stop, you would go cleanse yourself, and you would come back and continue. It was extremely sacred. But think about the importance of this, because David starts off this psalm referencing God in that way. And really, for this first verse, he pulls out the need for humility in our life. But he doesn't just stop there. He goes to the point of saying, I am the king. I am the one that is called the man after God's own heart. I am the warrior king that has conquered nations around. I am the one that is preparing to build the temple. God would eventually stop him and say, no, that is your son's job. He is the one that if he snapped his fingers like this, whatever he wanted would be brought to him. Yet he, as that king, says he is insignificant because he recognizes his standing before the Almighty God who brought everything into existence. But he goes on and he says, my heart is not lifted up, nor my eyes raised too high. So in other words, this aspect of humility, he understands who he is, standing in front of an Almighty God. He understands how great God is, and how insignificant he as a human is. But he continues by saying he doesn't occupy himself with things that are too great and too marvelous for me. That word occupy there very simply means a continuous action. In other words, he doesn't dwell upon them. There are certain things that David recognizes that are beyond his capabilities, and what does he do? He leaves them with God. Why? Because he's humble. He understands who God is and who he, the king, is. Oh, that we would reach that point, that we would quit trying to play God, that we would quit trying to make things work out for us rather than saying, you know what, Lord, you have brought this into my life, and I'm going to leave this with you. I'm going to let go so that you as God can do whatever you need to glorify and honor yourself and to make me closer to you through this relationship. So David opens up by saying, this is my humility. The important part of this first verse is that David had to learn to reject these things. He had to reject the prideful heart. He had to reject the arrogant mind. He had to reject trying to do the things that he wanted to do. Why? So that he could accept what is being offered in verses 2 and verse 3. And again, it goes back to his humility, him understanding, seeing, and recognizing where he is compared to God. Verse 2, David says, but I have calmed and quieted my soul. So we move from humility to the hush. And I want to make sure you understand the progression here. We cannot reach a place of quiet. We cannot reach a place of meditation and reflection until we have humbled ourselves. Now, when David says he has calmed and quieted his soul, the word calm, it simply means smooth and level. So think of a ship that is out in the midst of the ocean that is being tossed by a sea. And in the midst of the storm, that is not someone that is calm. That is not level. That is not smooth. But if you are out on a calm day on a lake where there is no waves, there's no wind, that's what he's talking about. It's that smooth easiness of the soul. This aspect of being quiet means that you're at rest. You have stopped the work. You are silent. The only way, again, that we can reach calm and that we can reach quiet is when we have humbled ourselves and we step back. We realize we are not the most important. We take the second seat. But notice what David says here. He says he's calm and he's quiet, like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. Now, we need to stop here. Because when you read this, you are tempted to make a judgment that, oh, this is a baby that is just nursed with its mom and is just quiet and restful. That's not what is being said here. The term weaned means that they are no longer nursing. They are now taking solid food. Culturally, in the Hebrew time span, this would be a child of about 3 years old. I have one of those children currently. And that child is anything but quiet. That child is anything but calm. Because these toddlers, what do they have? They have an independent streak in them that is a mile wide. If they don't get their way, what do? They will pitch a temper tantrum. My son loves to cross his arms and run over to a corner and flop down. Or he will turn to us and go, I don't love you. But what David is saying, and I need that imagery in your mind, because what he's saying makes this implication even more striking. He's saying that he is just like that child, but he is calm and he is quieted. Now, there are times that we have that little one that he just wants to come and snuggle, and he will just sit there and will say nothing. And those moments are precious. Why? Because whatever agenda he has, it's gone. It is now just, I want to be with mom or I want to be with dad. It's a choice. And that's what David is pointing to. You have to humble yourself to get to the point that you are hushed. So note that progression. Who God is, knowing that, believing that, and implementing that leads to an attitude of humility. And an action of hush. Then we turn to verse 3. So based upon his humility, based upon this quiet meditation within his soul, he then turns to his nation, the one that he is leading, and he says, in essence, my life, I've had to humble myself before God because I see who he is. In my life, I have reached a point that I have had to hush. I've had to pause. I've had to listen for what God has for me. And now he turns to them and he says, oh, Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Now notice what he does. By saying hope in the Lord, he's telling his people, wait. He's telling them, stay right where you are with God. He's saying, trust him. That's this aspect of hope. When everything in this world seems to be falling apart, we are called to hope in the Lord. But David goes even further. It's not just, hey, y'all, I want you to hope in the Lord right now. He issues the call for them to look to the future. You make your choice to hope in the Lord right now. But then most importantly, you continue that forevermore. Everything may be going smooth as can be right now, hope in the Lord. And when things get tough down the road and your faith is shaken, what should you do? Hope in the Lord. That's what David has put out. But I want to make sure that you understand what he is doing. Go back to verse 2. Look at that verse and read that for yourself. Does it say that God has calmed and quieted his soul? No. He says, I have. It's a personal choice that he has made. It is a specific choice that he has made because of the relationship that he has with God. So I have quieted my soul because of who God is. I have realized that all of these things that I think are so earth-shattering and so stormy and so, you know, anxious-inducing right now, nope. I'm still choosing because I know who God is. So he's made the personal choice, but that's what gives him the ability in verse 3 to turn to them and say, you need to make a choice. The structure of this verse where he says, oh, Israel, hope in the Lord, it's a command. It's like, you need to make this choice and you need to do it right now. This is almost like Joshua, in chapter 24, as he is giving his final speech to the nation, he says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I want to make sure you understand that. So often that phrasing is used and people think that he is talking about, you know, this decision that was made years ago. No. He had made that decision years ago, but this is him at the end of his life telling everyone, my family is still going to serve the Lord. It is this kind of commitment where David says, you hope in the Lord, you trust, you wait, you stay with him now and in the future. This passage really points to us the need to see who God is, recognize that he is God, and let him be God. But it also points to us that we need to recognize that what we often consider to be important really is not that important. David says, O Israel, hope in the Lord. He is really coming out that we need the disposition of trust. We need contentment in our life. And my friends, the only way that you are going to have contentment in your life is when you place your cares in the hand of the Lord. Let me say that again. The only way that you are going to have contentment in your life is if you place your cares in the hand of the Lord. What does Peter say in the New Testament? Casting what? All your cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. That's exactly what David is saying to us. So for encouragement in your life, I hope this brings that to you because this was something that I needed. So for encouragement in your life, what do you need to do? You need to humble yourself before an almighty God. You need to hush your mind. And then thirdly, You need to hope in the Lord. It takes courage. It takes trust. But I promise you, if you do that, and if you surrender everything that you have, I want to make sure that I have to add this statement, because so often people today will talk about surrendering everything that they have except their heart. If you surrender your heart and your life to God, He's going to take care of you. He doesn't promise you that life is going to be easy. He doesn't promise you that you're going to be wealthy, famous, and have a large fortune. But what He does promise you is that He will meet every single one of the needs that you have, not your wants, but your needs. And why is that different? Because the things that we think we want really do not matter in the long run. So my friends, humble yourself before God. Hush your soul within you so that you're listening to Him for what He is going to say to you and speak to you through His Word. And then thirdly, regardless of whether things are going great, regardless of whether things are going difficult, hope in the Lord. I want to wrap this up by reading this psalm one more time. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. Thank you for joining us for Defined by Moments, where we discuss topics showing that how we live determines how we lead. Hope to have you back in the not-too-distant future, and you take care.